2 John verses 7 through 13, these are God's words. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Last week in the first half of this little letter, we noticed that the Apostle John rejoiced greatly when he found some members of this church to which he is writing, walking in the truth, loving one another as Christ has loved us, and doing so particularly in the knowledge that Christ is the Son, that the Father has commanded us to hear him differently than we hear any other prophet. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And he classes Jesus above all men and all merely human prophets, as represented at that time by Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And now we find out one of the reasons why the apostle had rejoiced so greatly when he found some of these church members walking in truth. And that is because he has had much grief. When you have had the grievous experience of running into many people who profess Christianity, but they don't know Christ, they don't know that he's God come in the flesh. In fact, they think differently, and they consider themselves to be respectable Christians and argue for how they can be quote-unquote respectable Christians without believing that about the Lord Jesus, and you realize about them that they have no spiritual life, they don't have the Father, they don't have the Son, they don't know the Redeemer. Anything that looks like love for the brethren is not more than common decency or the restraint that common grace can put upon a man's sinfulness. And it's a great grief indeed to encounter someone who has been deceived. It's a greater grief to encounter someone who's deceiving others. So verse 4 connects to verse 7. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in the truth. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Now, why are we so insistent upon having good Christology or Christology at all? There are some. Why do you make such a big deal out of theology at all? Well, the reason to make a big deal out of theology, and the reason to make a big deal about Christology in particular, who is Jesus, that he is the second person of the Godhead, that he is God come in the flesh to save us, is because if you do not have Christ, if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, verse 9 says, you do not have God. Well, how do we know that you don't have God? Well, because he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he who confesses that Christ is in the flesh, he has God. But you look at the parallel in verse 9, the counterpart to not having God is to have both the Father and the Son. And so if you are lacking the Father, or the Son, or the Spirit, you do not have God. Any God who is not the triune God, any God who is not the one who has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a figment of men's imaginations. He is not the true and living God. The true and living God is the triune God, who became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son became a man in order to save us. And not just that we might have forgiveness of sins, although that is wonderful and necessary. Not just so that we might cleansed and be made holy, although that is wonderful and necessary. But that as those who are forgiven and those who are cleansed, we might have the Father and the Son. And so it is quite deadly to lack Christology or to have a false Christology. And that which was deadly, that which was grievous, realizing that God's name was being blasphemed by many who did not acknowledge Christ, realizing that many thought that they were saved while they were still perishing, it was a great grief to the apostle. And now he warns them against something with the implication that this is how the deadly disease of false theology and false Christology spreads. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Well, what are the evil deeds? The evil deeds are being deceiver and antichrist from verse 7. And the apostle commands what people call shunning. The apostle commands acting upon, responding rightly to the excommunication of those who do not have the doctrine of Jesus Christ, God the Son, having come in the flesh. And he says, if you receive him into your house, if you even greet him, if you treat him as if he was a believer, if you give him the affection that is due to a believer, what you do is you give validity, you give false validity to his wrong position, as if someone could hold to his theology without being as lost as the devil. And then what you have is theology like his spreads, and you have more and more people who are calling themselves Christians, but they're lost as the devil. They have neither the Father nor the Son. And so the apostle doesn't just warn against having the theology. He warns against receiving him into your house. He warns against greeting him. He tells you, yes, you may not be spreading the same exact theology that he is in the way that he is, but if you greet him, you share in his evil deeds. And so the grief of the apostle over these others, which contrasts the great joy that he has in those who are true believers, in verse 4, is used by the Holy Spirit to give us, under divine inspiration, this instruction for what to do with someone who has a false theology of Jesus and has made it known that he has a false theology of Jesus. And evidently, you're even to ask people. It seems to be implied when John ran into these people who are calling themselves Christians, he examined them more closely to make sure they had the doctrine of the Trinity, to make sure they had the doctrine of the divinity of Christ, so that he could send a report to their home church about how greatly he rejoiced to find these walking in the truth, because it has not always been great rejoicing when he heard that someone was a quote-unquote Christian. Sometimes it has been to great grief. And so he warns them not to bring such a person into their house, not to welcome such a person to their house or even greet them. And then he gives, again, the antidote that true believers, those who believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, those who believe the divinity of Christ, those who are keeping the commandment of Christ, not just as a merely human prophet, but as God the Son, who has become a man to be our prophet, priest, and king, that with such people you ought to welcome, you ought to greet, you ought to eagerly desire to see each other face to face, just as he closes in verse 12 with his own desire. There are many things that he might have written. We actually have a shorter Bible because God the Holy Spirit has given us everything that we need for faith and practice without some of these many things, so that he might have the joy of the fellowship of the believers, speaking to them face to face, that his and their joy might be full, verse 12. And those who are genuine believers, church members of true churches, ought to greet one another Similarly, verse 13, not the whole church that John is with at the time is going to be able to come to the church to which he is writing and from which he has found these members and to which he hopes to come soon. And so they send their greetings, of course, with the apostle, verse 13. And so this is a happy antidote to the grief that we have over false Christianity in the world, is the joy that we have over genuine Christians who are in the world. Praise God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it addresses us in places where we would so easily be mistaken and go astray by our flesh and do or think or say that which is harmful. Forgive us, O Lord, for our many sins. Protect your church from false thinking about Jesus, from false Christianity, in which there are those who think that they are Christians but are still in their sin and have neither you, our Father, nor your Son, our Lord Jesus. And so we pray for the help of your Spirit and his Spirit, that he would come and keep us walking in the truth, that we might have you and your Son, in whose name also we pray. Amen.